Merry Christmas. Welcome to worship tonight. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, I am Pastor Angela. Glad to share God's word with us tonight. Grace and peace to you on this most holiest of nights. You all are so serious. I'm like sitting over thinking, come on, loosen up, relax. The best part of Christmas is the fact that there's so much going on to delight our senses. If you were here earlier tonight, you would have had tons of giggling and tons of laughter and play, for the children of our congregation led us in the word by offering a pageant. And we know the story, right? We know the story of the baby's birth, but they brought it to life in a new way, and so we did a lot of laughing then. And we have candles all over. And soon, as we sing together Silent Night, we will all light a candle. I don't know about you, but growing up in my house, and I tried a little bit this year, although things are a little strange in my house right now, but there's senses going on in the house, too. Cookies baking and special foods being prepared. And maybe, if you're like me, there's incense or other smells in your home. Often there's sounds of children giggling as they open up the best gift ever from grandma or grandpa. There's soaring Christmas carols and jangling bells and sticky peppermint sticks. My family's personal favorite was a salad called snickerdoodle salad. Not a salad. It is. In our family, on Christmas, it was. If you don't know snickerdoodle salad, you cut up Snicker bars, and green apples, and you mix it up with some peanuts and some Cool Whip, and it's the best salad ever. No, it's salad. And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of our senses being kind of struck and awakened, there's a baby. There's a baby, a Christ child being born. But that first night is so different, I would assume, because I wasn't there, but from what I know, that first night was so different than any Christmas that we've ever celebrated. That child was born into a painfully sparse circumstance. And probably what felt like to those parents the darkest of nights. That baby's mother endured contractions on the back of a donkey. And not just for a little while, but for 90 miles on their journey to Bethlehem. On a journey that was mandated by a cruel and oppressive regime and ruler. And then when they got to their destination, there was no place for her to give birth except for a barn. And I imagine that first nativity being one where you couldn't ignore the senses. You couldn't ignore the smells permeating the air of the manger. And I'm sure they weren't as sweet as peppermint sticks and other sugary treats, but heavy instead with the smell of hay and probably manure and farm animals. It was a strange scene for a baby to be born. And often we like to imagine the baby asleep in Mary's arms, comfortably cradled and quiet, surely just doing what babies do. Well, if he's doing what babies do, he's bawling and crying and fussing and trying to figure out what this thing of life is all about. If we happened upon a birth like that today, a labor that's filled with dirt in an alley or a garage, our eyes would probably tear up and we would murmur things like, it's such a shame, too bad for them. Such a tragedy. A miracle unfolds in the disguise of an ordinary misfortune. I think the delicate line that divides heaven from earth that night is torn away. It's pierced by a baby's cry, an infant's wailing. The angels, we hear they're singing, reminding us that this baby is God's response to our ugly world. This baby is reminding us that it's God's answer to our fears and our brokenness and our wailings. God has responded with hope and a brand new life. We are reminded that this child promises to overcome the darkness with divine light. The shepherds, they're on their way. Again, if you were here earlier, I'm not saying you should have been, but if you were, you would have heard Iara running around the sanctuary saying, "Christ is born! Christ is born! Christ is born!" You did a good job. The shepherds teach and tell and proclaim from one simple night of being converted. The angels, they convert terror and fear into jubilation and praise and celebration. And their message is one of good news that never, ever fails to quicken the pulse of the believers. This child is God, God infleshed, God made human. The Holy of Holies is born and has become a human child. The Prince of Peace is born in a land of war and uncertainty and violence. The angels, they summon us to receive this child as a gift, a strange and mysterious gift. But I think it's not like unwrapping one of your favorite packages under the tree. It's a gift that's really hard to receive. There's nothing harder, I think, than receiving this particular gift. Receiving this gift, this child, this infant, it means that we have to admit our weaknesses, our desires, and frankly, our total poverty without God. Receiving this gift of the Christ child means being brutally honest that we cannot, will not ever be able to save ourselves. And to call this helpless infant our Savior is to confess that we need to be saved, that we are desperate enough to hang our hopes on a newborn. On a newborn whose eyes are so immature that he can't even gaze upon his own father. Not yet. It's really humbling, isn't it? It's really humbling to kneel before a tiny baby and call him king. And we can't forget why. We can't forget why God chose to cross the boundary between heaven and earth and come to be a part of us. Perhaps the only aspect of the Christian faith is about the birth that we need to remember is the reason for why God has come. And it sounds simple. God has come so that we are knowing throughout our lives that we are loved fully and unconditionally. God has come so that you know you are loved. So that there is nothing that you can do to be separated from God. It sounds easy until we ponder it and wonder what that truly means. God loves us. God loves us absolute, passionate, and creatively. God desires to embrace us. God desires to wrap God's arms around us. In the weeks before Christmas, we had 4 weeks, which we call Advent. And during the season of Advent, we hear the hope of the prophets. We pray for lasting peace. We contemplate with Mary the joy of this terrific news. And we revel in the gift of God's brilliant love. But just as Mary knew she would eventually bear a child, it's not like we went through Advent without knowing that we would come to this night. We knew that we would celebrate and give thanks for the birth of Jesus. The joy of Christmas is inevitable for us, for a Savior is born to us in the city of David long ago. And year after year, we come back again to celebrate. Advent wasn't about pretending we didn't know the baby would grow into a man named Jesus who would teach us how to live and move and have our being with God. No. Advent, I hope, readied us for a more authentic Christmas celebration. For joy that is wrought from the fires of sorrow and the depths of our fears. I think Advent and the season of our preparation brought about praise that we can celebrate tonight. Tonight on Christmas Eve, we stand in that sort of thin, holy space between history and future. Everything is different because of the first Noel. The impossibility of lasting peace and goodwill among all of God's people is suddenly this night made possible. The union of God and God's wayward creation that we are a part of is determined by God's surprising love, love that is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, who is our King, our Savior, our brother, and our friend. We know full well that the work begun on that first manger scene is not yet complete. Christmas is, for the time being, I think, a feast for our senses, a feast of light contrasting the darkness of our world and our lives. We brighten the sanctuary with candles. We brighten our homes with lights that twinkle from our trees. But the night, it still persists beyond these walls and beyond our homes. I hope tonight you are able to wipe away tears and join in the Yuletide celebration. But we are still oftentimes people who mourn. Though we have seen the light of God's love and been utterly transformed by it, we are still a people who oftentimes walk in darkness. Heaven and nature sing, we sing and proclaim, but God's beloved creation is still ravaged by violence and death. Mary has suffered her last contractions, and she's rallied for that one final push, but the victory of our salvation has not yet been fully delivered. The Son of God came to earth preaching of an everlasting kingdom, and all of creation is still groaning for the labor and delivery of that realm of peace, that ultimate kingdom. But the promise of God becoming human, the very gift of Christmas, that unconditional gift for you and for me, is the assurance that soon and very soon, truly God's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. We celebrate, we rejoice, and we have Christmas merriment year after year. And with all of its joyful visions and melodies and aromas and smells, it's but a hint. It's but a little glimpse of the final feast that we will experience in God. Tonight we revel, I think, in the foretaste of what is yet to come. The extravagance of Christmas, the home cooking, the snickerdoodle salad, the laughter, the generosity all around us, these are just a bit of the reverberations of the full kingdom that we are waiting for. On this night of Christmas, I think we experience a sliver, a little glimpse of what it'll be like when God's promises are entirely fulfilled and fully aglow. The light that pierces the darkness on that first Christmas night will overcome all darkness. The wonders of God's zealous love are chasing the shadows of sin and death away, even in times that are saturated in grief. And so, with the shepherds and the angels and our children, we sing. In the face of sorrow, we sing. We sing with joy, for it is scandalous, for that God has chosen to come and be among us. In the shadow of war and death, we sing of peace. as lasting as the North Star has been. With you this night, I glorify and I praise God for all that we have heard and all that we have seen, for all that we have witnessed, and soon what we will again taste and receive. May all of your fears and your worries and your sorrows be bundled up and swaddled by God. May you truly celebrate and know within your heart, within your bones, and in your soul that God has come. God has come down so that our darkness may be overcome. I wish you a very Merry Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.